The Old Testament lesson for the Nativity of our Lord is written in the book of Exodus, the 40th chapter. In the first month in the second year, on the first day of the month, the tabernacle was erected. Moses erected the tabernacle. He laid its bases and set up its frames and put in its poles and raised up its pillars. And he spread the tent over the tabernacle and put the covering of the tent over it, as the Lord had commanded Moses. He took the testimony and put it into the ark, and put the poles on the ark, and set the mercy seat above on the ark. And he brought the ark into the tabernacle and set up the veil of the screen, and screened the ark of the testimony, as the Lord had commanded Moses. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud settled on it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Throughout all their journeys, whenever the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the people of Israel would set out. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not set out until the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was on the tabernacle by day, and fire was in it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle is written in St. Paul's letter to Pastor Titus, the third chapter. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Hallelujah.
Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' And from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side, has made him known." This is the Gospel of the Lord. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated. A most blessed feast of the Nativity of our Lord to all of you on this glorious Christmas day, dear ones. What a joyous day, a magnificent day, a triumphant day, certainly, for us to come together with friends and family, giving and receiving gifts. And most especially, of course, because today we celebrate and marvel at the mystery of our Lord's incarnation and holy birth. God the Father giving us the greatest gift of all in his only begotten Son, who came down from heaven and came close to us, even taking on human flesh, and who dwelt among us to save us. Let each and every one of us here today, dear ones, glory, revel in this mystery, because the glory of the Lord now revealed in the fullness of time, in the infant Christ, tender and mild, has certainly not always been experienced in the same way from the days of old. In fact, as you may remember, when the glory of the Lord was revealed at Mount Sinai, long ago, that was a fearful, frightening revelation of his glory. That had filled all God's people with sheer terror and trembling as his presence was manifestly revealed way up high on the mountaintop. There were thunders and lightnings and a great cloud covering the mountain. It was wrapped in thick smoke because the Lord himself had descended on it in fire And the whole mountain trembled greatly, the scriptures say. Moses was then commanded by the Lord to set limits around the mountain and consecrate it, keeping the people at a distance and prohibiting them from even touching it. And with the glory of the Most Holy Lord revealed in such a terrifying way, it had to be so, at least initially, because of the people's sinful condition. It had to be so. As fallen, sinful human beings, they had to remain at a distance, lest they perish, being utterly consumed in the presence of his glory like a heap of dry leaves in a raging fire. In and of themselves, the people had no way whatsoever to rid themselves of the uncleanness and defilement of their sin, and to draw near to the Lord in all his divine holiness and purity. They had no way to do this of themselves. And unless he somehow made a way for sinners to be anywhere near him to their benefit, the people would ultimately remain separated and cut off from life and every blessing with him. And thus, you can see the great drama unfold and begin to take form. This separation between God and man, between our most holy Lord and defiled sinners, was not just a dilemma faced once upon a time long ago by the ancient Israelites and by them alone. No, this was the dilemma faced by all mankind since the fall into sin by our ancient ancestors, Adam and Eve. Unless the Lord should make a way for us to be near him, how could you or I or any human being defiled with sin dwell with him and stand in the presence of his awesome glory as we were always intended to from the beginning? With man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And although no man could see a way for us to dwell in intimate union with the Lord who made us, our blessed Lord has made a way by becoming man and saving us from our sins. And this is the great mystery that has long been unfolding, prefigured in types and shadows from ages past. When Moses encountered the burning bush, the bush was indeed ablaze with fire, and yet it was not consumed. And more than that, the Lord himself was revealed to Moses in a very special way in the great mystery that was manifest before him. And so too, from Mount Sinai, the Lord commanded Moses to construct the tabernacle, as we heard in our Old Testament lesson. That was the tent of meeting, where the Lord himself would reveal his glory and meet his people, dwelling among them intimately. His divine presence was truly manifest there among his people in the tabernacle, as it was on the mountain, and yet the tent was not consumed by the fire of his glory, nor were his people either, as they dwelt with him and he dwelt among them, blessing them through the priests, cleansing them from their sins through sacrifice, and removing their guilt as far as the east is from the west. But finally, it has pleased our Lord, dear ones, it has pleased him most not to reveal his glory by dwelling with man in a tent or temple made with hands. No, instead, in the fullness of time, the eternal Son and Word of the Father became flesh and tabernacled among us as one of us, true God and true man. Within the womb of the Virgin Mary, God's own Son assumed our nature and united it with his divine nature in the unity of his person. And now the glory of the Lord has been manifestly revealed in the flesh of Jesus Christ. And yet his flesh, our flesh, has not been consumed or destroyed. But it's been renewed and restored and redeemed. And for all of us united with him by grace through faith, we are and will be renewed and restored and redeemed. Dear ones, draw near and behold the precious face of the infant Christ and see the salvation of God enfleshed. Look on him and see and know that by his incarnation, he takes all that is ours so that we would have all that is his and dwell with him in intimate communion. He takes our sin and gives us his righteousness. He takes our wretchedness and gives us his blessedness. He takes our defilement and uncleanness and gives us his purity and holiness, even laying down his life for us on the cross to save us from eternal death. This very Lord, our incarnate Savior, has been pleased to dwell among us, and he's been pleased to welcome both of you, Travis and Cameron, among his people here in this place today, with whom he lives in intimate communion. Rejoice and be glad today that you've been numbered among the redeemed in Jesus Christ. You probably thought catechesis would never end, and that's certainly how it feels at times. And Misty, I want to thank you for the sacrifices you've made as he's been coming, and Cameron as well. On behalf of our congregation, thank you. And Lord willing, one day you'll be received here with us as well, and the rest of those gathered with you. Indeed, it took a long time. It's been a long time in coming, gentlemen. And in truth, you should think, though, of how long the Lord's plan of salvation for the human race has been unfolding, and how he has made you participants in it now with the rest of us today. And for the rest of your lives, as faithful disciples of Christ, know that the gifts he gives you will never wear out. They will never fade. They are yours today. You are his today. And with him together we shall dwell as one. To Christ be all the glory forever and ever. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.